Part 2. You're going to listen to another recorded material. Again, before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read the instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice.
We welcome today Professor George Davies from the University of Wales. Professor Davies is an expert on society in 16th century England, the time of Queen Elizabeth I and, of course, Shakespeare. So how would you categorise society at that time, Professor?
Well, it was certainly a society undergoing dramatic changes in which there was an explosion of interest in the language, even though the printed word hadn't become universally available. We don't quite know exactly how many people could read and write, but literacy would not have extended to all levels of society. Some historians call it an illiterate society, but that seems rather pejorative. No, the best way of putting it, in my view, is to refer to it as a pre-literate society, like most societies that have ever been on the planet. In fact, our society, in which we tend to expect everybody to be literate, is the one which is out of step.
So how did this pre-literacy affect ability to communicate at that time?
What it meant was that the prime form of communication was direct speech, face-to-face, which means communication involving the body, the stance, the distance between people. It also meant that people were much more finely tuned to the spoken word. They could take in more of it. They could listen in a more acute way. It's therefore quite natural that the art form which corresponds to that particular situation should be drama.
One thing that has always puzzled me is where did the actors in the 16th century learn their craft? Were there any drama schools then?
Well, Shakespeare's actors, the boys and the older men in his company, didn't actually have any acting training before they joined his company. You see, in Shakespeare's day, you learnt your schoolwork by repeating it out loud all day long. The arts of oratory and rhetoric were part of your normal education, and they were also the means by which you learned. So they had wonderful voice training, which enabled them to develop an individual style.
I've always thought of the Elizabethan society as one that revelled in its voice, that at its heart delighted in giving voice to words. Mm. Would that be correct?
I would certainly think that the atmosphere in the average theatre of the time would surprise us today. I believe it would sound and feel more like a present-day football ground. In a modern theatre, there's a sort of reverential hush as the darkness descends and we feel, you know, that we're in some sort of temple devoted to the worship of great art. But then the atmosphere would have been much noisier. Remember, Shakespeare and his contemporaries had theatres which were open to the sky, and so the noise of the city, the shouts of the street sellers, the neighing of horses and so forth, would add to and mix with the sounds of the stage and, indeed, in my view, would comment on them.
So, in the same way, this was not a world for the shy or the softly spoken.
Not at all. Now, people's voices in the 16th century, it seems to me, wouldn't have been geared to the exchange of intimate revelations about the self. This is a notion of speaking that's a 20th century concept, as is our notion that a play should give you the intimate personal feelings of the author or of a character on the stage. Then, art was largely about external issues. How a country should be governed, how one should deal with rebellion, questions of that order.
Fascinating, Professor. I'd like at this point to bring in another speaker who is going to tell us about Elizabethan court life and how Shakespeare...
Now listen again.
We welcome today Professor George Davies from the University of Wales. Professor Davies is an expert on society in 16th century England, the time of Queen Elizabeth I and, of course, Shakespeare. So how would you categorise society at that time, Professor?
Well, it was certainly a society undergoing dramatic changes in which there was an explosion of interest in the language, even though the printed word hadn't become universally available. We don't quite know exactly how many people could read and write, but literacy would not have extended to all levels of society. Some historians call it an illiterate society, but that seems rather pejorative. No, the best way of putting it, in my view, is to refer to it as a pre-literate society, like most societies that have ever been on the planet. In fact, our society, in which we tend to expect everybody to be literate, is the one which is out of step.
So how did this pre-literacy affect ability to communicate at that time?
What it meant was that the prime form of communication was direct speech, face-to-face, which means communication involving the body, the stance, the distance between people. It also meant that people were much more finely tuned to the spoken word. They could take in more of it. They could listen in a more acute way. It's therefore quite natural that the art form, which corresponds to that particular situation, should be drama.
One thing that has always puzzled me is, where did the actors in the 16th century learn their craft? Were there any drama schools then?
Well, Shakespeare's actors, the boys and the older men in his company, didn't actually have any acting training before they joined his company. You see, in Shakespeare's day, you learnt your schoolwork by repeating it out loud all day long. The arts of oratory and rhetoric were part of your normal education, and they were also the means by which you learned. So they had wonderful voice training, which enabled them to develop an individual style.
I've always thought of the Elizabethan society as one that revelled in its voice, that at its heart delighted in giving voice to words. Mm. Would that be correct?
I would certainly think that the atmosphere in the average theatre of the time would surprise us today. I believe it would sound and feel more like a present-day football ground. In a modern theatre, there's a sort of reverential hush as the darkness descends and we feel, you know, that we're in some sort of temple devoted to the worship of great art. But then the atmosphere would have been much noisier. Remember, Shakespeare and his contemporaries had theatres which were open to the sky, and so the noise of the city, the shouts of the street sellers, the neighing of horses and so forth would add to and mix with the sounds of the stage and, indeed, in my view, would comment on them.
So, in the same way, this was not a world for the shy or the softly spoken.
Not at all. Now, people's voices in the 16th century, it seems to me, wouldn't have been geared to the exchange of intimate revelations about the self. This is a notion of speaking that's a 20th century concept, as is our notion that a play should give you the intimate, personal feelings of the author or of a character on the stage. Then, art was largely about external issues. How a country should be governed, how one should deal with rebellion, questions of that order.
Fascinating, Professor. I'd like at this point to bring in another speaker who is going to tell us about Elizabethan court life and how Shakespeare...